May the words I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be the words you want heard. May we live to your glory. Amen. This week I was thinking of one of my favorite movies, Down Periscope. Has anyone seen it? Well, it's about a misfit submarine commander, Lieutenant Commander Dodge, and his crew of oddballs. Now, one of the funniest characters is a guy by the name of Sonar Lavacelli. Obviously, he's the sonar operator for the boat, but he has the ability of extraordinary hearing. Let me give you an example. They're in the midst of a war game where the sub must sneak past the destroyers and get into Norfolk Harbor. To do this, the commander bottoms his boat on the bottom of the bay, and sonar says, "Approaching the bottom, sir. I can hear a couple of lobsters duking it out." Sonar says a few moments later, whispering and pointing straight up, "Sir, it's the Orlando. Someone just dropped 45 cents. The lieutenant says, "Are you sure?" "Oh yeah, a quarter and two dimes." The commander has got to be wondering, how can sonar hear 45 cents in the middle of Chesapeake Bay? Well, I figure he hears what he's listening for. I hear what I listen for. That's a powerful statement for any Christian community. Jesus said in another way, in last week's gospel, Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" And this is the challenge before us today. What are we looking for? What are we listening for? What do we value most in our little corner of the kingdom of heaven? These are challenging concepts, for they ask us to consider our spiritual priorities. We must discern and decide what's important to us. What will we be looking for? What will we be listening to? What will we value most in our common life together? These questions require and charge us to consider our past. And these are questions that lead us to a full, honest, and accurate assessment of our current situation. But mostly, there are questions that inspire us to look to the future. And in today's gospel, Jesus gives us a clear direction about our past, present, and future. Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms that we are to look for what we are listening to and what we must put above all else. First, the past. Clear and simple. Unambiguous and direct. Jesus says the way is to repent. Repent, for all of us are sinners and we have each in our way failed to live up to our true calling. We've all made mistakes and we've all fallen down. Not for the fire and brimstone, repent ye sinners, but Jesus says basically, get up. Try again. Repent. The word repent means to turn. I think the word turn is closer to what Jesus is saying. He wants us to repent, but not with a negative connotation. We are forgiven, loved, and free. And so turn around and try again to hear God's voice. And this is not to say that we've not been sinful or wicked, at least not any more than anyone else. We all must make choices. And frequently, I know I make poor ones. This is to say that we are human and that we want to do as much better than we so often do, that we want to let go of small annoyances and petty gripes and senseless quarrels among us and grab on to what is really important. So turn. And that will bring us to the present. What is really important for us in the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus lived among us, not to predict some unachievable Shangri-La, but to proclaim that God's mercy, justice, and love is already here, made real in this place now, so close that we can touch it, taste it, smell it, and hear it, if that's what we're listening for. We have left with the painful realities of the world, that when people and those who represent us reject God's mercy, justice, and love, we are left with hunger amongst so much wealth, and homelessness amongst economic vitality, and sickness amongst amazing healing power. That is to say, that we are, all of us are sinners. Perhaps that's my childhood upbringing, but I don't like the word sinners. It sounds so permanent, but it's really not. As sinners, we make a choice whether to dwell on life's problems or to look at life's opportunities. Are we going to wrestle with the devil or dance with the Savior? Taste and see, for our God is gracious, and our kingdom and God's kingdom has drawn near. So look around for signs of the kingdom here and now. And for the future, Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people." We are called, each and every one of us, all of us together, to bring the light into the world, to proclaim to all the people God's good news and salvation, and make known the glory of God's marvelous works. Our calling as Christian community is not to repair the roof or balance the books or print up bulletins. Well, these are important and essential to building up the Christ's body here. And our stewardship committee might string me up, but budgets and reports and achievements are not our mission. They are not what Jesus calls us to listen to. They are not what the Lord, our Savior, commands us to value. When we follow Jesus, he makes us fishers of men, ambassadors of Christ. When we follow Jesus, we acknowledge and admit that we are marvelously made, that God's works are wonderful, and that we know them well. It's like suddenly noticing that the lights have been burning all along. It's like hearing a quarter and two dimes underneath the din of our existence. For the only thing that changes is attitude, our perception, and our choices. So this is our charge to us today. Let it shine. Turn, and it will shine. Look for the signs that the kingdom has drawn near, and it will shine. Follow Christ, and it will shine. And what will happen if we let it shine? What is it exactly? What will we let it shine? Will the bills get paid if we don't open the mail? Will we continue to have bake sales or sewing groups and do all of, if no one volunteers? Will we have food pantry if no one volunteers? Will the copy machine repair itself if we simply pray? Probably not. We need to attend these things to be sure. But if instead of harboring resentments, we work towards forgiveness, instead of marking divisions, we seek agreement, instead of simply praying, we pray simply. And what will shine will be the very light of salvation, the sure and certain hope of everlasting life, the gift of God for the people of God. Pray simply, turning from your past mistakes. Pray simply, proclaiming the kingdom of God has drawn near. Pray simply, promising, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." And if you can put this into action, commentator Barry Bates suggests we simply just ask ourselves three questions. Am I a sinner? If your answer isn't yes, you're lying to yourself, to others, and to God. Do I want to change? If your answer isn't yes, you need help. The kind of help that is offered at the holy table of God. The last question is, and do I believe, truly and earnestly believe in the heart of hearts that the kingdom, God's kingdom, has drawn near? And if your answer isn't yes, you are exactly like all the rest of us, everyone here, skeptical that God would love us so much that he would allow us to make such important choices. And then make those choices. Choose to turn from your past. Choose to look for signs of the kingdom here, now, in the present. Choose to follow Jesus to the future. And he will prove all you need to be fishers of people. Repent. It's not a commandment, it's an invitation. If you don't know how, then ask, and it will be given to you. Look around for the kingdom. It's not a game of making someone, it's not a game of making something happen, but a matter of noticing what has already been accomplished. If you don't know where to look, then search, and you will find it. And follow Jesus, that not a quick fix to all of you, following Jesus is not a quick fix to all of your problems, but a promise that walking in the way of the cross will fling wide the gates of heaven. Knock, and it will open for you. Repent, look for the signs around us, and follow Jesus. For God's grace did invite us, and God's love shall unite us to work for the kingdom and answer our call. Amen.